Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It is the final hour of In This League. Bogman, our tour's almost done. Have I done that bit before? I haven't done the tour's almost done.
I don't think I've heard that bit before.
There you go. That's one I'll use 1,200 more times before the end of the year. But there you go. Hour three right here on In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scott Bogman on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Find myself on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. And we are all football, foosball. Though we don't have any football this weekend, so it's a little bit of a lie. Didn't you tell me there are no Sundays without football?
I said after the Hall of Fame game, yeah. But there's no weeks without football.
Oh, okay. Because there is a Sunday.
This is the last
tomorrow.
Sunday without football.
Until February.
Until February.
Well, and yes. Maybe actually longer, because what about the XFL? Isn't the XFL working up?
I think the XFL is 2021.
2020. I'm almost 100% positive it's 2020.
It doesn't matter. It's going to fail immediately.
Oh, so it's not the AAF.
It will. And it's not, I don't want it to, but until they get college players who are explosive and looking for money, so they don't have to go to school, so they don't have to have these things like Last Chance U. Those guys can just go play in the XFL instead. The competition is going to be terrible. It's going to be like watching the Hall of Fame game. When Khalil Muhammad's the best player on the field, it's not that great. You know, not taking anything away from him, but, you know. Kurt Warner was so bad that he was bagging groceries. Those are the type of guys you get out there for those games.
Remember when you were a little kid and, like, arena football was cool?
Nope.
Okay, I do.
It was never cool for me. Even as a little kid, I didn't like it. I was like, why aren't these guys, like, why aren't there more bigger hits and things like that? And it was, I don't know. It was just weird. It's like the Canadian Football League, too. Yeah. You watch it, and it's just strange. It's not actual American football. So
good old red-blooded American football.
That's right.
That's what I'm looking
for.
If
you can't get tanked and throw yourself through a table, then it's terrible.
Terrible. All right. So
I think they banned that in Buffalo, though, didn't they?
What, the table?
I thought they banned the table stuff.
Maybe
and
lighting
all the
it on fire.
Crazy drinking.
I mean, they can ban it, but you know.
Got to take it down and step. You can still throw your body through it, but you got to quit setting it on fire.
Guys, please stop putting it on fire. Stop with your gasoline. All right. So we're going through week one of the preseason, which, you know, you can take that for what it is. But what we're doing is we're tying in this article of a sleeper for each team, and we're seeing what we dig, what we don't dig. And as we left off, we were at the Houston Texans, who are going to be playing the Packers. We already talked about the Packers. But I guessed Kiki QT is the sleeper for the Houston Texans. What does the article say?
It's an excellent guess, but that's not right. It is Deontay Foreman. Your original guess was Deontay Foreman. And it's funny that this is the pick here, because I 100% agree with it. Obviously, I'm a huge Deontay Foreman fan. He went to Texas. I saw him. He was the only shining light during the Charlie Strong era, right? It was somewhat ugly on offense for the team, and we lost to Kansas for the first time in like 150 years or whatever it was. It was literally like 60 years they had not lost to Kansas. But in that game, Deontay Foreman carried the ball. I believe it was the third most times in college football history, the Welsh. Take a crack at how many carries he had against Kansas.
32.
More.
40.
More.
Oh, 45.
More.
50?
More.
55?
55 carries.
Wow.
Yeah.
In a game?
In one game. Yeah, it was 55 carries. So,
wow.
He was the only thing on offense at all. So I've seen him obviously tote the rock. He's pretty athletic. He's coming off this Achilles injury, right? And that's the That's the big thing. And I wanted him to be huge last season. I thought, oh, he could definitely do it. I mean, I know it's an Achilles injury, but he's a young man. All that nonsense didn't work out. So he came back. I believe it was they had hoped week 8 and he came back like week 14 or 15. It was so long. And excuse me, it was 51 carries, not 55.
Ah, liar.
So just, yeah, 250 yards on 51 carries and 2 scores.
All right. So, I mean, I buy Foreman for the most part. I think I would put Foreman, I mean, justifiably, I could see where you put him at 1. It just feels like it never clicks or works out how he feels.
I mean, I think that's his upside. But, you know, Bill O'Brien said that Josh Ferguson, Karen Higdon, Demario Crockett, anyone is competing for that second job behind Lamar Miller. So Miller is entrenched.
Yeah.
At least to start the season.
So I'm going
to
put, and Foreman's cost is maybe one of the higher that we're talking about here. I'm going to put Foreman below Allison and Miller.
Okay. So go Allison, Miller, and then Foreman.
Yeah.
And Foreman's ahead of Parker and ahead of Duke Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Okay.
He's a difficult one to pin down because you've heard nice reports, but I think I'm super excited to see that game with him, to see him get out there and see if he's more explosive than he was last year, or if he just kind of, you know, you can kind of tell if that Achilles injury took too much out of him, he's going to kind of be a nothing moving forward, and hopefully his career isn't over before it really got rolling.
Yeah. So. Next up, this is on the NFL Network on Thursday. I think it's the second game. The Chargers at the Cardinals. So yes, the Cardinals are playing the LA Chargers versus the Arizona Cardinals. Some Kyler Murray action, some Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson. Lots of stuff there. So let's start with the Chargers, Boggs. And I am going to just right off the cuff, I'm going to guess Justin Jackson is the pick.
That's it. He did have 2. He had Travis Benjamin in there too. But if you're picking one, it's Justin Jackson.
It's 100% Justin Jackson. And I like that one a lot. Who do I have at number 1? Allison?
You got Allison at number 1.
I'm going to put Justin Jackson at 2.
At 2, behind Allison.
Yeah.
All right. How worried, like, it's tough to draft him, right?
Who, Jackson?
It's not now because his cost is still super low because we haven't even seen preseason games open. But he is going to move up and 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 up.
That's true.
As we go, because of, you know, people thinking more and more about how Melvin Gordon isn't going to be there. So but what's the cusp? You put him ahead of Anthony Miller, who you like.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Eckler is the one that takes the biggest hit here as far as like value anymore. Justin Jackson's going to come up, but I'm not sure it's going to be. I don't think it's.
Well, see,
the top
I don't
100.
Agree with you there. I think Eckler's value kind of stays somewhat lateral because I think he has a role with Melvin Gordon in there.
But it's high. He's going to be the number 1, so he continues to go higher. You think Justin Jackson's going inside the top 100?
No, but I think that he could be, you know, around 10-ish pick where you're deciding between Geronimo Allison and Justin Jackson, right? And I think at that point, you know, it probably is a lot based on roster construction, but if it's not, Justin Jackson is the riskier pick, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's so boom or bust, you know, because if Melvin Gordon plays, he's basically nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And if Melvin Gordon doesn't play, he could have so many carries. So it's just a tough one to suss out as far as where his value goes right now. It's not nearly as difficult as deciding on where to draft Melvin Gordon. So, but it is one of those things where, you know, I feel like he's mainly a handcuff, and I don't like to handcuff, but I think that if you're drafting Melvin Gordon,
I hear you.
You have to take Justin Jackson on the back end. You just need to do that.
Mostly. I mean, is Jackson number 1 for you?
No, I would put him. I'd put him behind Allison and Foreman if I'm making my own list. So I would have Allison and then Foreman and then Jackson.
Okay. Arizona Cardinals. I think there's a couple choices here. I feel like in the vein of this, it feels like Kirk because it could be a number 1, but that's pretty high. So the 2 that jump out to me are Chase Edmonds and, oh boy, where could we? And Andy Isabella. So I'm going to say he goes with Chase Edmonds.
No on either one of those, but I like those guesses better than what he has here.
Really?
So I like Chase Edmonds as a sleeper. I'm with you on that one. Or Andy Isabella. But Andy Isabella did tweak, was his knee yesterday or 2 days ago in practice. So that's going to be, you hate to see that stuff because it's a rookie coming in with a brand new system. And if he gets way behind, this guy that Tagliere picked could be the dude. It's Akeem Butler. Akeem Butler out of Iowa State, you know, big 6'6 dude, going to be a red zone threat for sure. And they should be, the defense is still bad, so they're going to be playing catch up for a lot of the time. And the spread system that they're going to be running with Cliff Kingsbury at the helm. I mean, you just read off that, you know, the four wide receiver stats, you know, sets that thing. It's going to be nuts for Arizona. They're going to be so much higher than any other team this season, I think. So Akeem Butler in there. But your boy, Mike Jarecki, said that Keyshawn Johnson from Fresno State
is the rookie to watch.
So I feel like there's so many moving pieces in this Arizona Cardinals offense to where you can pick Akeem Butler, you can pick Isabella, you can pick Johnson. Something crazy is going to happen. I mean, they already said that Ricky Seals-Jones is at the bottom of the depth chart, or he's third. He's behind Charles Clay and Max Williams. So a lot of people are picking Ricky Seals-Jones as a sleeper of this team. And I know we mentioned tight ends are kind of whatever as far as sleepers go, but he was one that I kind of liked because they're going to throw the ball so much and it's just not working. So I'm going to wash Akeem Butler and let you pick whoever you want. So who are you going to pick?
Oh, man. I mean, like, because Kirk doesn't qualify.
No, he goes too high.
I guess I would pick, Akeem Butler, I think, is fine. I would probably pick Chase Edmonds, but I don't think I'd put Chase Edmonds incredibly high. He'd be under Duke Johnson. I'm not sure if right under, but he'd be in that range.
Okay, so it would be where you have Duke Johnson, you have Jordan Reed just behind him, and Mark Andrews behind Jordan Reed. He behind both those guys?
Yeah, he's behind Andrews.
Amendola and Sanu next.
Oh, man.
I think I put him behind both those guys, too. But I put him ahead of Crowder. You have Crowder next.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Edmonds behind Sanu.
All right. What's the next game we got?
All right, this is the last Thursday game, finally. It is the Broncos at the Seahawks. So let's start with the Denver Broncos here. And I am going to take a guess here that the sleeper of choice, it's going to be a wideout. It's got to be Deshaun Hamilton.
Deshaun Hamilton.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Gotta be
Deshaun Hamilton. I mean, look, our guy Jake Seeley really likes Deshaun Hamilton, and he was great at Penn State. I don't know about this, though. I like Cortland Sutton a lot. Manny Sanders looks good. I don't know if he's going to be good enough to come back. They spent a first-round pick on Fant. They just signed Riddick. Philip Lindsay catches a ball out of the backfield really well. I don't know that I'm in on Deshaun Hamilton, as much as other people are.
I'm not either. I mean, not to say like cool videos, you know, in the camps of him just burning the cornerbacks in Denver. Great footwork. He could absolutely be a thing. You and I are Cortland Sutton guys. And
right.
If Emmanuel Sanders comes back, that puts a little wrench into it. I think Deshaun Hamilton is going to be valuable and has a good opportunity to have some value. But, you know, he's not. This is who do I have under Duke?
Under Duke, you have, let me pull it back up here. It was Amendola. Who was it? Jordan Reed, Mark Andrews, Amendola.
I'll put Deshaun Hamilton above Jordan Reed.
Above Jordan Reed?
Yeah.
My thing here is I think if you're a Deshaun Hamilton guy, it means you're not a Cortland Sutton guy. I think you kind of have to pick between those guys, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm drafting Cortland Sutton wherever I can.
Yeah, me too. So I'm just not going to be in on the Deshaun Hamilton stuff. Who was the other team? You said it was Seattle?
The Seattle Seahawks. And I feel like I have one in my head that's immediately going to pop up. Ooh. It's going to be DK Metcalf or David Moore. And I'm going to say he goes with David Moore.
He does go with David Moore.
Yep.
Very nice. Very nice work here. I'm just not a David Moore guy. I just can't do it.
I think he's a fun safety net possession type of receiver that they can go out to. The problem that you're getting to is Tyler Lockett takes over the Doug Baldwin role. DK Metcalf is the big play red zone option. So where does that leave David Moore? It leaves him, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 catches, 40 yards, you know, something along those lines per game, which could have some value, but he's going to disappear. He might have a good game or two. I don't see a high touchdown. I don't see him being a high touchdown player, especially with, you know, they're going to have a 2 running back set that's going to be pretty predominant.
They ran more than any other team last year.
And that's probably the biggest factor.
They ran more than any other team. They drafted a wideout in the second round, and they have more rushes to go around for Penny and for Carson. And they like to mix in those other backs as well. I mean, McKissick could still stay on this roster as a special teamer. They expect CJ Procise to. They brought in other guys too. I don't know. Like, you know, they drafted Gary Jennings as well in the 4th round. And David Moore caught so few of his targets. It was like right around 50%, which is terrible. And that could be, I'd like to look up the PFF stats of catchable targets and see if that number changes a bunch. And I bet it definitely could. So a lot of those could have been throwaways and stuff. But like
what is league average? Like 65-70%? Like 70% catch rate? Does that sound league average?
Yeah, probably way higher than 50%.
So I mean, maybe it makes them a little bit better. But you're also talking about a run-first offense with, at best, the second wide receiver. It's just it's hard to gauge.
That, he caught 4 balls was the most he caught in a game last year.
Yeah, so that's why I said 3 to 4 balls is kind of like, you know, 3 to 4 balls, 30 to 40 yards. You try to catch him on a week. I get what the narrative here is. I'm just not super excited about it. David Moore is, I'm pretty firmly down.
David
there.
Moore or Ryquil Armstead?
I'll go David Moore, just above Ryquil.
Or Goddard.
David Moore below Goddard. So okay, that's where that's going
to be. Between Goddard and Armstead. Yeah. So.
All right, we're going to go to break here. When we come back, we are going to move to the Friday games, a very important game for Bogman and a lot of other fantasy owners, the 2 games that they've got here. So when we come back, more NFL preseason week 1 talk with the sleeper for each team. So don't go anywhere. More Bogman and Welsh coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Do you want 2 risk-free wagers up to $1,000? Damn right you do. I know you do. Go to pointsbet.com/grid. And open up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID, G-R-I-D, and you're going to get 2 risk-free bets up to $1,000. In addition to traditional, why can't I say traditional?
C minus.
I have struggled with words that should not be a struggle. Let's go. In addition to traditional betting, I think it's addition to tradition. I think that was the problem. We've got it.
What was the problem again?
Addition to traditional. That addition was the transition. That was the tough part.
The addition to traditional transition. See, I did it too.
Copy it's note tough. For the future. We got to change that. But PointsBet also offers its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet. So, for example, if you bet the Dallas Cowboys -3 and they cover the spread by 8 points, you'll receive 8 times your stake. That's awesome. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter promo code GRID and you're going to get 2 risk-free free bets up to $1,000 today. And in consultation to anybody with gambling, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details and see a linguist for
see a doctor
for the stroke that I've been having for the last like 5 minutes. I don't know what is going on with me. Good Lord.
You all right, buddy? We're almost done here. Two more segments to go.
A lot going on in the world of In This League and just everything. It's also outside of all the things that are just going on with us in general. This is the time of the year. It's almost a yearly tradition that I have an absolute breakdown. And sometime between July and September, I have an absolute breakdown of many different levels. Usually it's, I should probably quit and never do any of this again. It's something like that. Or I got to just quit doing some stuff. And it's some type of thing. It's just a lot. You know, we have basketball's looming. Baseball's still going on. I do prospects. We've got football in full force. You're doing college. I mean, it's just, there's so much going on.
Sometimes so much fun.
Sometimes it's just it's an extreme overload. So I'm very thankful for the great audience and listeners we have. They're all very, very supportive, awesome people, and they can bear with when I have a stroke copy read.
Your second stroke? I can only handle one stroke at a time, the Welsh. God's sake. Phrasing, by the way. What's the next game here? Let's move on to the games.
All right.
Get you back on track. Well,
speaking
let's
of
go.
Stroke, one that Bogman is going to have a stroke and his all his neighbors are going to absolutely hate him on Friday. How are we going to do this too, Bogman? I think this game is before the radio, way before the radio show. Hint, hint, as we record it. The Buccaneers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let's start with Tampa Bay, though. Tampa Bay.
Oh, boo.
Well, we're going to save the best for last. Starting with Tampa Bay, as far as sleepers go.
I mean, you could pick so many on this team.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm going to say, I mean, Chris Godwin stands out as the obvious, but they're not
going
to.
He's going too high.
Yeah, he's going too high. I'm going to say Ronald Jones is the pick here. It's got to be.
It's not. It's, I mean, I just don't think you would ever. He's got two.
Is he doing like some, is he doing like Bruce Anderson or some like.
Bruce Anderson is one.
Oh, really? Okay. And let me guess the other one if I'll never guess it.
Never get it.
Bobo Wilson.
Nope.
No. Breshad Perriman. No. Oh, I got it. DeMarcus Lodge.
No, it's Andre Ellington. DeMarcus Lodge.
Oh, Andre Ellington. Because of Bruce Arians?
Because of Bruce Arians. That's right. But you know what's funny is we're talking about Bruce Anderson here. And Andre Ellington, because he's been a big part of Bruce Arians. And look, Bruce Arians brought him back, right? So there's a little credence to that. I don't think it's going to be anything, but he brought him back in. So you got to say, well, look, he's at least thinking about doing that and having him be a part of this offense because he decided to have him back in. But Bruce Arians pointed out and complimented Dare Ogunbowale, a former Nebraska Cornhusker, as one of the best guys in camp so far. He also said that he expects a nice battle between Barber and Ronald Jones in camp and preseason. So
who does he not like?
Well, he might be doing just a whole coach speak thing. You're absolutely right there. But I think at the end of the day, this is probably still between Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, right? I think they're number one and number two. And whoever's third is a distant third at this point, right?
Hell, Ricky, you can be fourth or fifth.
You can be fourth or you can even be fifth. I wouldn't be surprised to see any of these guys make the roster. And I think the only one I'd be surprised to see lead in carries would be Andre Ellington.
I agree with that. I can't buy Andre Ellington. Who is the other one, did we say?
What's Bruce pick? Anderson. I'm Bruce Anderson from North Dakota State, just to give, if you don't know about him, he played in North Dakota State. He is a guy that catches the ball really well out of the backfield. To be honest, I feel like he could move and play wide receiver at some point in his career.
Really?
So think about him as more of a third down back type of a player, kind of like the Theo Riddick to the two guys in Denver. So if Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber are one and two, Bruce Anderson is three, is a guy that could be popping up in the slot, lining up out wide, and that kind of stuff.
I guess I'd be more interested in Anderson if I had to pick either one of them, but this is going to be at the bottom of the list of my interest.
Really? At the bottom of the list?
I mean, not at the very bottom, but it's going to be near the bottom.
Okay, so Bruce Anderson or Greg Olsen?
Bruce Anderson.
Bruce Anderson or Paris Campbell?
Boy, I'm going to go Paris Campbell.
You're going to go Paris Campbell? All right. So you have him, then I mean, you've got him below Zay Jones and Reichwell and David Moore.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little bit higher on him. I think that he'll have some type of a role. And if, you know, Ronald Jones is just flat out terrible, or, you know, Peyton Barber is just, Peyton Barber is such a jag.
But hey, man, this week, week one, that's the point of the conversation we're having too, and how we started this show was to also be like, how much, you know, how much impact does the preseason ever really have? We all get all super excited. Everyone's like, hey, Brian Hill, blah, blah, blah. Everyone gets all super excited. But this is what this is all about, this conversation. Guess what? Week one, we should see lots of Bruce Anderson. We should see it versus Pittsburgh. This might be an ideal situation for him to shine. And then we could start talking, okay, maybe this is a guy that is establishing himself. Now maybe he's going to get more run in week two. Maybe we're going to see him press up against some of these other guys. This is an important week where my excitement can lay. At this moment, not really interested.
Yeah, I would say that I'm like, we're in that 30 round draft, I would take Bruce Anderson. That I don't know that I would
take
him.
Okay, I agree with that. But like that, I'm trying to find a scenario.
Many other places, right. Yeah, you're not taking him in a 12 man.
No, I'm trying to even find.
16 man, he's borderline.
That's what I was getting at. Like a 16 man, he's borderline. Like a big old IDP 16 man dynasty, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like you can start to find a spot.
Our guy RFP hit me up in a draft, and he was getting down to the nitty gritty of some of the players that were drafted. It's a, you know, just a rookie draft for him. And I was like, can you take guys that weren't drafted? Because I think I'd take Bruce Anderson ahead of a bunch of these guys at the end, like Preston Williams and guys like that. So
your Pittsburgh Steelers, and I've already got the guy. And
you know who it is.
Well,
huh?
Now I'm second guessing myself. I feel like Jalen Samuels is the pick, but the guy I immediately went to was Deontay Johnson.
Always pick a rookie. Come on, man. Pick your guy.
Well, then it's Jalen Samuels to me.
It's not. It's James Washington.
No, James, he's coming
your
back.
Guy. It's James Washington.
He is my guy, but yeah. Okay.
Look,
why does the team hate him though?
I don't think the team hates him. And the, you know, I like this point that Tagliere makes. He says in this article, remember the start of Devontae Adams' career with the Packers. It was horrible. 38 catches for 446 yards and 3 touchdowns on 66 targets. And everyone wanted to give up on him. And that was me included. I was not a Devontae Adams guy. Even after he had his big year, I was like, I don't know. I don't know about Devontae Adams. So James Washington could break out, but he's got an uphill battle to climb. And, you know, he's got to beat out Dante Moncrief. Eli Rogers is going to get in the mix as well. Ryan Switzer, it was a nice part of this team last year. And like you mentioned, they drafted the rookie Deontay Johnson. So Moncrief, Johnson, Switzer, Eli Rogers, who's been with the team for a long time. It's an uphill battle for him. I think he's more talented than any of those guys that I mentioned.
So are you buying it back in? Like you kind of seemed wishy-washy on James Washington. Are you in?
I'm not in for this year.
Okay.
I still think it's going to be Moncrief as the number two to start. So I think if James Washington comes on, he comes on closer to the back half of the season.
I do agree with that.
But so where would you put him? You want James Washington or David Moore?
James Washington.
James Washington or Dallas Goedert?
I'll go Goedert.
Okay, so you would have him between Goedert and David Moore. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's about where he should go, but he's going way higher than that, which makes him not a sleeper at all to me. 131 overall.
It's pretty high.
It's too high.
Yeah,
it's too high. That's 11th round pick. I mean, that's a bench player. He's not good enough to be on your bench right now in a 12 man.
And by the way, how are you going to handle, like, are you ready for this?
For preseason? I don't care about preseason
Steelers.
At all.
Steelers.
I don't care about, I don't care about the preseason. No.
I've been eating a lot of Carl's Jr.
Dude, I might die week one. Because they open up with the Patriots on Sunday night. So good luck doing all the stuff without me. Have a great time.
Have a nice life.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, all responsibilities. Steelers are on Sunday night. Goodbye.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. We'll try to get this other Friday game in, and then last segment we'll get the last three, or maybe we can get both in. But this is a great game. Minnesota Vikings at the New Orleans Saints. We'll see how much the actual starters are going. So let's start with Minnesota as far as the sleeper goes. And let me find them because it's not jumping out the top of my brain until I look at the roster. I think I got it, but let me double check.
You got it?
Yep, I got it.
All right.
Ooh, maybe it's that guy. I am going to say it is Alexander Mattison.
It is. You went with the rookie and you got it this time.
Got him. I was going to say Chad Beebe was the other one.
Chad Beebe's not a bad guess because from what I've heard, he probably has that, number three wideout kind of locked up. So I kind of like that Alexander Mattison one. I think that Dalvin Cook, you know, has been banged up. I think this is the year where he kind of proves himself. So I'm not.
I'm shocked at.
I'm not running the jump and grab Alexander Mattison, but I do like him.
I am shocked that this team is the number two, has Ameer Abdullah, and you haven't made a plea for Ameer
Abdullah. I'm over it. I can't do it anymore.
It's all done?
So it has to be all done.
I refuse to believe that. I can't believe that you've let go of that love.
Look, he had week one, right? Week one, he was great coming out for the Lions against the Chargers. He had that sick little stick and go move that dropped the defender. And after that, he hasn't had a move as good. So it's been downhill from them, from their injury play with Ameer Abdullah. I can't have any. To be honest, I'd rather have Mike Boone.
Mm.
Mike Boone from Cincinnati. I'd rather have him. Mm. And D'Angelo Henderson is in there as well. Not a bad addition. But Alexander Mattison is a dude that is just, he had so many carries at Boise State. Like, he knows, and that's why he seems to be so much of a Zimmer guy. You know, a hard-nosed running back that's just going to keep running into the guy in front of him. It doesn't matter. He can catch the ball a little bit too. 302 carries in college last year, the Welsh. So he's a guy that's prepared for the long run.
And the good look here too, and this is obviously why you get excited about him, is with the injury stuff with Dalvin Cook. If he were to go down, even if Ameer Abdullah was there on the roster, I think they, like we're kind of alluding to, they would just let Mattison take that role of Dalvin Cook and keep Ameer Abdullah in whatever capacity he is, if he's even still on the roster, to be honest with you, because they may end up going Mattison and Boone if they feel comfortable that way.
And they took him way higher than anyone thought he was going to go. I thought he was like a fifth or sixth round pick. They took him with, I believe it was the last pick of the third round. So he went much higher than people thought he was going to go. So you got to give them credit for reaching for their guy and taking him where they wanted him. So clearly he was an asset.
And I like that one.
Draft. So, I
want to have
great.
This one.
I think that's the best one.
I think I want to have it kind of high. You think this is your number one?
No. I think he's the best one on this team. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's kind of what so Alexander Mattison.
He's got to go under Duke.
Okay. So under Duke would put him, let me scroll up here. That would put him ahead of Deshaun Hamilton under Duke.
Under Deshaun.
Under Deshaun. So ahead of Jordan Reed and
Mark
Andrews.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
All right. I like it. I like it. Who's the next team? New Orleans?
Nolens. And I am going to guess, because you know they say the folk who live there, Bogman, say Nolens. You don't say Nolens. New Orleans like a mouth-breathing tourist. You say Nolens.
It doesn't matter. You just don't say New Orleans. You say either say New Orleans or Nolens.
New Orleans. Orleans. Hello, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
This one has got to be Traquan Smith.
It is. It's Traquan Smith. He also has caveat, I think, just because he's being drafted so low. Teddy Ginn, 296 ADP overall.
Okay.
But Traquan is 162. So and I actually like that one. I don't know that I would have a better one. I really like Latavius Murray, but I think that Murray is probably being drafted too high to be considered a sleeper.
Are you worried at all that they were, like, the Saints were talking to Riddick and they were talking to Alfred Morris? Are you, like, worried? Like, do you think, now you could look at it that none of those guys signed there because maybe New Orleans is just like, we want camp bodies? Or do you think they're legitimately trying to get someone in to push Murray or, you know, be a number three?
I think it's a number three because you look at the rest of the guys on the roster behind Kamara and Latavius Murray. It's Dwayne Washington. It's undrafted free agent out of Nebraska, Divina Zigbo, Rob Kelly, Matt Days. Like, these guys aren't. These aren't household names by any stretch of the imagination. I think if you had, a third back with a little more name brand value, but I think that is also something that they can wait for a cut. You know, they can wait and take, Bruce Ellington or whoever, Andre Ellington, whoever ends up getting cut from another team that has some NFL experience to put behind those two guys.
Do you think fantasy football needs to at all, or I mean, I guess they, I just haven't seen anybody do it. Has anybody like set a flex position to Taysom Hill? Like, is there, have you seen a platform that's put quarterback, running back, wide receiver, like the ultimate flex spot for him yet?
Not really. I haven't seen him anywhere, but I tell you what, Taysom Hill 2.0 this year, Trace McSorley with the Ravens.
Ooh, really?
Yep. That's exactly what he's going to be there talking about, playing him at safety. He's going to be on special teams, but he was quarterback at Penn State. So it's going to be exactly the same thing that Taysom Hill is running in New Orleans. He's going to do that same, probably available in goal line packages.
I'm really curious on Taysom Hill this year. I wonder if he gets used more and more as an offensive player. What if he could be a number three receiver, you know, with some, I'm just throwing it out there. What if they experimented in that way?
I think he's athletic enough. I just don't think. I don't know he's experienced enough.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. All right, we got to go to break. Final segment coming up. Endless Love with the last three on the Saturday edition of upcoming preseason games. Don't go anywhere.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in the... In this league.
In the dark.
Yes. Endless Love right here on In This League. It is Scott Bogman, is Chris Welsh. Final segment on this first August edition of In This League. And it's just... Man, we've been building up so much to football. It's incredible that... I mean, we are in the throes of the final weeks. All the big important draft stuff is going on. Listenership is going to start skyrocketing because people are, you know, the hardcores have been there, but a lot of people are going to be jumping in. So make sure you're dialed in. You know, there's previous episodes you can check out, and I highly suggest that you get yourself subscribed to the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Two weekly episodes dropping on Tuesday and Friday. We got ranks analysis coming up where we're going to take all the major sites. We're going to pit their ranks up against each other, and we are going to tell you where the values are, how the systems may be over or undervalue certain positions. It's one of the more informative things that we do, and it's one of my favorite episodes. So we're going to do that, and then another one of our insane mock drafts where we curse and laugh and try to build teams. And I think we agreed this next mock is going to be the ultimate strategy one. So we're going to go outside of our best team available thing, and we're going to build a strategy type of thing.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to make sure that I am picking low. And where do you want to pick? You tell me. Your strategy.
I don't know. We put it out there for listeners to like suggest some strategies. So I want to see and hear if somebody's got an idea. Like, you know what I'd be curious about doing, even though I always hate it? I'd be curious about having like 12, even though I think this is actually, now I'm thinking about it, what you want to do, but at 12 taking Travis Kelce.
That's what I said that for 3 weeks.
But do you want to take him in the first round?
Yes. Okay. Well, or on the turn, either way. So, but I want to be like somewhere between 10 and 12 and snap him up and see what my team looks like.
Okay.
So, I haven't done that yet.
I like that you do that one. Maybe I would do a two. I've already done a two wideout, didn't I?
Yes. Yeah, you did. And you hated it. And then I refused to do your two wideout strategy. And I hated my team even more than you hated yours.
So. We'll play around. I don't know. Maybe I'll do a three running back. We'll see what mine is. But Bogman will be the early tight end one. So, all right. We got three games here to finish up for week one of the preseason, adding in the sleepers. And we're starting with the this is Saturday now. So we've gone through the huge slate of Thursday games that you guys get for week one of preseason. Then there's two on Friday, which are great ones, big offensive outputs. Then we start off Saturday with the Cincinnati Bengals at the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's start with the Bengals. I feel like there's such garbage across in Cincinnati that you really could throw out any name here.
Oh, mean. I actually really like the one that Tagliere picked.
John Ross.
That's it.
Yep.
First round pick in 2017 has been unbelievably bad so far. I mean, you want to talk about first round busts. He has been terrible. Not all his fault. Andy Dalton, not great, But, you know, Tyler Boyd was a second round pick, easily beat him out. Cody Core and Alex Erickson have been getting more snaps. He has been injured in there as well. But you got the new coach in Zach Taylor coming in. And they're set up for more short passes in this offense. And that's what you want with John Ross. You want to get the ball in his hands because he's speedy. He's electric. And it's not something that they focused on with Cincinnati in the recent years. So I think this is a perfect sleeper candidate all the way down here.
Yeah, I can get, I can definitely get down with it. I think it's probably near the top just because, you know, the offense is going to be built for him to get a lot of run.
And the A.J. Green injury.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm getting at with the A.J. Green injury. He's a big explosive player. They're going to have to find ways to score, though there's a part of my heart that would love to see Stanley Morgan Jr. get it just from all the crap you got from the college fantasy football people. But I'm down with this one, but it's not top four. It's definitely under Anthony Miller. So who are my guys under?
Well,
Anthony
I mean, Miller? Okay. Would you rather have Amendola or John Ross? That's tough.
I think I would go John Ross for the upside.
You have Mohamed Sanu down here. You put John Ross ahead of Sanu also. He's just so risky. Like, that's why I would put him down here. But he's like the definition of a sleeper to me. You can take him in the last round and see if he works out.
Well,
you
know? And this is also ranking how much we like the idea of the sleeper, not necessarily like I'm taking John Ross over those guys. I think I'm going to put him just above Amendola and Sanu.
Okay. So you behind Andrews and Reed and Madison.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with that. And I think that especially like this is a perfect definition of a sleeper in John Ross, because you can take him at the end of your 12 man, stash him on the bench. And if he gets his run, it's going to be early with AJ Green out. So I'm excited to see what he could possibly do. So who's the next team?
We have the Kansas City Chiefs, and let me go. I feel like it's already got to be Darwin Thompson. But
it's not.
It's not. Okay. It is.
It's Ben.
DeMarcus Robinson.
No, I like that one.
Who the hell is it? Daryl Williams. Mm-mm. Naming all the players. Hold on. I'm going to keep naming players.
Come on, man.
Mecole Hardman.
No. Carlos Hyde.
Oh, get bottom.
It's Carlos
of the list.
Hyde. Come on.
He's going to get cut.
He's going to get cut. He's going to get cut when they bring in LeSean McCoy, right?
That's right. That's what's going to play back with Andy Reid. They don't need Carlos Hyde. I don't know. I see the excitement on it. I'm always super, you know, by my negativity to Damian Williams as far as talent goes, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, shouldn't you be higher on Carlos Hyde?
I'm okay with it. I'm being a little negative about it. I just don't know if he's even guaranteed a roster spot, to be honest with you.
He was so inefficient last year. That was kind of, and that's what Taglier highlights in his article here, but it just his yards per carry have gone down like three or four straight seasons. I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but it's been bad. And you just see him and he looks just like a grinder. Like all he can do is run straight forward. That's
a Kogian grinder. Yeah.
Hoagies and grinders,
Navy meatloaf beans, sandwich. Navy beans.
a sloppy Joe. God.
So we have to rank it. I already forgot. Who is it? Oh, Carlos Hyde. Above Reichwell Armstead.
Oh, forget. Oh, wow. Yikes. Behind David Moore.
Above David Moore.
James Washington.
I'll go above James.
Dallas Goedert.
I'll go Dallas over Hyde.
Okay.
I think Hyde is good. I just don't know if Hyde makes the team, to be honest with you. I think when, you know, week two or three rolls around, teams start cutting and there's going to be a few backs that we're going to be surprised about. I think the Kansas City Chiefs could go and knock and for, like, I still cannot let go of my LeSean McCoy thing. But I feel like there could be a guy or two floating out there that maybe they make a move for, because Carlos Hyde just doesn't fit their scheme.
If this was Darwin Thompson instead, would he go to the top of the line here?
Like at the very top of my list?
Yeah.
No, not the top, but he'd be higher than Hyde for sure.
Would he be over Deonte Foreman?
No. He'd be Monte right Parker. Under.
He'd be between Foreman and Parker, or just ahead of Duke Johnson?
Man,
we're behind Duke Johnson.
He'd be right after Duke.
Okay, so that would make him just ahead of Deshaun Hamilton. So
yeah, that's perfect.
I think that's fine. Okay. What's the next game?
Yeah, we only got two more, and we don't have all the time. The next game is the Los Angeles Rams versus the almost going to be Las Vegas Raiders.
All right, so the Rams.
Oh yeah, I have to guess here?
I'll just tell you, it's Josh Reynolds. I don't know.
Oh really?
I just don't know why. I guess maybe if one of the main three wide receivers gets hurt in Cooks, Woods, or Kupp.
I think there's an early Kupp injury thing, like how healthy is he going to be at week one? So, okay, maybe. I'm surprised he didn't. I mean, Daryl Henderson has risen up so much. I guess that takes it away, but that felt like that would have been the obvious one. I'm not into Josh
Gerald
Reynolds.
Everett would probably be a better one for me. Yeah. I think that's who I would have said if I was picking someone on the Rams. So, but where would you put Josh Reynolds? He's probably pretty low, right?
Near the bottom.
Yeah, and he's an Aggie, so.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really care about, like, I mean, I don't even know what we're doing this, but with this, we'll talk maybe about, like, the top 10. He's not in the top 10, so.
No, not at all. The Raiders, who's your guess there?
All right, let me look at the Raiders real quick.
I feel like this guy's gotten a little bit of buzz.
I feel like you're giving me a hint here, then, when you say those things.
Not really, because you always pick rookies. So.
Hunter Renfro.
It's not a rookie.
It's got to be Hunter Renfro.
What did I just say?
Tyrell Williams.
No.
It's not Jalen Richard.
No.
Okay. We're process of elimination. It's got to be Marcel Aitman.
Come on, man. It's Darren Waller. Darren Waller's got a little bit of buzz because Jared Cook leaves so much on the table. And with Antonio Brown, you know, stretching the field, you would assume, and Tyrell Williams being an upgrade from Marcel Aitman, then the middle of the field should be somewhat open.
Yeah, I'm good.
No? So Darren Waller's at the bottom?
Yeah, the bottom. It's just that, what world are you going to draft Darren Waller in?
I don't know. Scott Fishbowl, where you need 100 tight ends, okay, or whatever it is.
In the 12 tight end league, in the 12-man, 12 tight end league, sure. There's no scenario where Darren Waller is I mean, maybe in a 20-man that you need a backup tight end, okay, but it's so minimal. Darren Waller's a guy, I don't buy the sleeper because there's no scenario where you draft him. Now, go watch him in week one. If he goes and gets a bunch of targets, okay. But you're not going to take Darren Waller over Mark Andrews. Get out of here. You're not going to take over Hockenson or Fant. That's looking at this Raider team and going, boy, I don't know what to pick. I'd have picked Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, so I mean, Waller's, I like Hunter Renfro. I think that he's going to win that starting slot.
Hunter Renfro?
We'll see.
You sound like Scooby-Doo. You're just like, Hunter Renfro? Uh-oh. Hunter Renfro.
I said Hunter Renfro. Hunter Renfro.
I know, just how you say it.
I'm saying it weird now, too.
Like Hunter Renfro. Just
Hunter Renfro. I don't understand what is so funny.
For some reason, how you say Renfro sounds like a mouth breather.
God, Lord.
Hunter Renfro.
Renfro.
Maybe I'm the only one here.
Hunter Renfro.
I think you dragged the F a little bit, so you're like Renfro.
Hunter Renfro.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, bottom of the list.
Fine.
Bottom of the list.
I make fun of you all the time because you don't pronounce I's ever.
Well, I couldn't say anything correctly like 40 minutes ago. So it doesn't matter. All right, final one. This is my team. This is going to be on the NFL Network on Saturday. Oh, man, I'm going to not see 1 ounce of this game either because this is on my son's birthday and we will be out of town. Man. So I'll be watching the replay, but it is the Dallas Cowboys at my San Francisco 49ers. So let's start with the Dallas Cowboys and how apropos that we will end with those 49ers. Let's see the Dallas Cowboys. Ooh, Randall Cobb, Bogman.
No, that's who I would have picked.
I would have picked too. Is he going to do a Darius Jackson thing?
No, not that bad. It's Michael Gallup.
Okay.
He has Dak Prescott on here, too, because Dak Prescott is going off at 122 overall. But I don't know how much you can put quarterbacks as sleepers, really. So it's Michael Gallup.
I mean, I like
by the way,
we
didn't even rank Darren Waller, by the way. Is
bottom,
he like
bottom half?
Very
bottom,
behind Josh Reynolds and Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, not even in the list. He doesn't
even
belong.
Okay, he's way far off there because you don't know who he is.
Yep, doesn't matter.
So, and then... who are we putting Michael Gallup here?
I like Michael Gallup actually a lot. Randall Cobb, I think, is interesting in the same like Amendola type of conversation.
Both those guys could be like, if Zeke does hold out, both those guys could be very successful.
Yeah. I would put my Gallup is relatively high on this list. I can see myself
Gallup
drafting.
Or Ross.
Say it again.
Gallup or John Ross?
Gallup.
Gallup or Deshaun Hamilton?
Ooh. I'll go Deshaun and then Gallup. Very close. I might switch.
Over Alexander Mattison.
Are you asking me?
I'm asking
him?
You. Yeah, that's where he would be if that's what you're doing. Over Madison, Reed, and Andrews. You've kind of drawn the line at the tight ends anyway.
Yeah.
So, but he would be over those two guys.
Yeah, I think that's
right?
it's about appropriate right there.
So. Okay. All right, who's the sleeper for your Niners?
Let's go. Yeah, let me take a look, and then we can see what the top 10 ended up being. The sleeper for the 49ers, I think there's a lot to choose from here.
So many.
Is he going to go? How about Matt Breida?
Nope.
He's not going to do the Jalen Hurd thing, is he?
No, Jalen Hurd's too far off.
Boy, I'm having unless he's not going to do an obvious and throw Coleman in our face. How about one more? How about Jordan Matthews?
Nope. It's no idea. Marquise Goodwin.
See, that's like the one guy I
Marquise
would pick
Goodwin just out. Won the 40 yards of gold, by the way. That 40 yard dash competition that no one got paid for after they said they were going to pay all those guys a decent amount of money. Nobody has gotten paid for it.
Oh, nice.
From what I heard. So,
was it run by the AAF? File for bankruptcy?
I think nobody bought it either. No one paid for it.
Here's my problem. Is the 49ers are slowly becoming, I use the Patriots thing, take the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's the deal. Dante Pettis is going to be we got to get targets at him. Same with George Kittle. Trent Taylor is doing stuff in camp right now. There seems to be a connection with Garoppolo and him. You've got Jalen Hurd, who they want to move around and want to be a thing. They've also got Matt Breida, who they're talking about moving around and playing some wide receiver a little bit there. They've got some tight ends they can mess with. I just, Caden Smith. What?
Come on, you're forgetting the best one.
Oh, Juice. Kyle
Debo.
Juice. Yeah, Debo. I didn't even say Debo. There's so many of these guys. I have a hard time looking at Marquise Goodwin and picking him as the player. And I mean, Breida doesn't really fit that role. I'd say if you want a deep, deep ass one, Trent Taylor might be the guy because he's looking like a number three on this team. I could see them cutting Marquise Goodwin, Debo going to two, and Trent Taylor playing the spot. How you like them apples?
God, I hope they cut Marquise Goodwin and the Steelers sign him. That'd be so much
That'd
fun.
That'd be great. All right, so what did my top 10 ended up looking like? Because we got about a minute.
All right, so the top 10 of the sleepers, you went number one, Geronimo Allison.
Okay.
So obvious upside playing with Aaron Rodgers. Number two is Justin Jackson. Number three is Anthony Miller. Four is Deontay Foreman. Five is Devontae Parker. Six is Duke Johnson. Seven is Deshaun Hamilton. Eight is Michael Gallup. Nine is Alexander Mattison. And 10 is Jordan Reed. And it's funny because I feel like I can see all of those guys or any of them on the bench of a well-drafted team. But after that, Mark Andrews, Sean Ross, Goodwin down here, Amendola, Sanu, you're looking more 16 man-ish.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's a pretty solid list. Like, there's a few, maybe one guy jumps here or there, but I think Allison is firmly locked in as my top guy. I mean, what do you think about that list? Where is it off the most in about 20 seconds?
I don't know that it's off anywhere. I think it's fine. I think that all these guys are kind of, you know, high ceiling, low floor players. So where it depends on who you believe in. So if Allison would be my number one on this list too.
Okay. There you go. Well,
I'd put MVS ahead of him if he was on the list, but
that's true. Very, very fun stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed that. You can catch all of it back on the podcast. If you miss any of it, come and check us out over on In This League. Where podcasts are, we are there. We got tons of great stuff for you. And patreon.com/ITL Army. That is where we got all the stuff we've been talking about, the GroupMe rooms. It's the beginning of the month, so it's a killer time to jump in because you're going to get all the draft prep stuff, secret shows. We got a uncensored secret mock draft that's going to be happening later in the month. So it's fun stuff. So come have fun with us and find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys next week. Bogman Welsh out.